What's up, runaways? Now that Jonah's been defeated, where do we go from here? Can Carolina forgive Nico for what she did? And what school is Gert trying to get into? We're going to talk all about it, and we have a very special guest from Pride joining us tonight. Let's get to it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Are y'all ready for this? Episode 7 was crazy.
Yes.
It was insane. So let's dive right into it. I'm your host, Ollie Drennan, and I have an amazing panel with me today. We got Shay Jones in the house.
Hey, guys.
We got Megan Lynn.
Hello, hello.
And we have the beautiful, the talented, the effervescent, Ever Carradine.
Yay!
I like that, effervescent.
That's exactly
right?
What I did.
That's what you
meant to say.
I said something with Greg yesterday. I said sulking, and I wasn't even paying attention.
No.
Greg was sulking.
No,
it was
never sulked.
His character sulked.
Yeah, his character. Yeah.
Well, we are so excited for you to be with us today. Like, we have so much to talk about in these two episodes. So we got to get to our initial thoughts.
Okay. Well,
but first, let's get to your initial thoughts, because Janet's role has definitely been expanded this season. Mm-hmm. So how is this different from season one for you? And obviously, you have the amazing James Marster as, you know, your husband.
Well, I mean, I think the thing that happens this season is, like, Janet gets to show her stuff a little bit. And that happens conveniently because her husband's in the box. And so once he's hidden, then she gets mm-hmm. to sort of come out and shine. And mm-hmm. I love those scenes, like with Pride, where Janet gets to kind of be smart and surprise yes. Tina, especially. Like, she's the one yes. I really like to kind of surprise.
Yeah, and then you're constantly also undermined by Jonah, too.
Yes.
You know, which is so frustrating
as well.
Yeah,
but she stands up to him, you
exactly.
know, which I like.
And I love how you're, like, sneaky and like, oh, yeah, yeah, Jonah, just, yeah.
What? Nothing to see here. I'm just making cookies.
I'm gonna go into his coma, you know, alone, yep. just to spill some tea.
Oh, no, I love that. That was good. That was fun.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, but we've got to talk about first the showdown. The showdown at the dig site.
Yes.
This is where basically the Pride teamed up with the runaways, even though they didn't plan that, but it actually ended up working out. So what did you guys think of this whole plan that turned out? Because Jeffrey was captured, so they used him to get into the dig site. It was awesome.
For most of this episode, like, for episode 7, I wrote down quotes. Like, my favorite quotes are what everybody said. That's what I took away a lot from the episode. Nico coming out of the tornado is everything I want to be in life.
Wasn't it amazing?
I want to do that. So if yeah. there's a way to recreate that for, like, as a Hulu or Marvel could do that, to give that to the public, please help us out with that one. That would be awesome. Just, like, relive that moment.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Over and over again. It was awesome.
And, like, for me, you know, that was a really arduous episode to shoot. It was 6 straight days of night shoots downtown, which means you get to work at, like, 5, and then you leave at 6 or 7, whenever the sun comes up in the morning. And a lot of us have kids, and so you get home at 6, and your kid's like, what's for breakfast? So it was just really great to watch that episode and see that it all worked visually mm-hmm. and emotionally. And I thought that was such an emotionally impactful scene. I loved it.
Yeah,
it
and, like, we're at the middle of the season, yeah. so, like, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, there's so much buildup in that particular episode,
yeah.
episode 7, and mm-hmm. finally to see how it played out, it was like, literally what I said earlier, where do we go from here?
Right.
There's so
but
much,
like, you couldn't have asked for more, too.
Exactly.
You were like, everything I wanted to happen,
jaws,
like, is happening.
Jaws
yeah.
dropped.
Yeah.
And I think we really saw the lines blur of who's on what side, because it's been couples pitted against
yep.
each other, couples pitted against each other within the couples, and now we have Jeffrey kind of joining the runaways.
Right.
Which I thought was really interesting, because I think from the beginning of season 1, he was sort of painted out as a leader of the group, just
mm-hmm.
because he's this, like, big, tough guy, but to see his, like, little son Alex take him away and bring him along for the run, as he said, bring your kid to work day.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes, right. It's like, I thought you were watching How to Train a Dragon 2. Oh no, I snuck into a hacking seminar here and just, you know, figured out how to track phone. You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
kid stuff. And everybody else is just like, yeah, Alex. And his dad's kind of like, who are you?
No, so good. It's so good.
You know, it just takes, you know, years of parents sacrificing young children to finally understand who your kids are.
Honestly, like, in real life, I can't wait till my kids are old enough to help me with my computer and my phone. Like, I'm just counting down the minutes.
Because this is what they're, yeah, it's kind of like very telling of the times, because this is what the kids are growing up with. They're growing
yes.
with growing up with social media. They're growing up with technology. So,
mm-hmm.
and also, like, it's so cool for me to see, because I grew up with the Runaways, the actual comics, seeing the comics being translated into this day and age, because it's completely different and it's really expanding, fleshing out everything. So it's really cool. So it was a very productive episode, I'll say, because the ship's destroyed, I think. Hopefully, we'll see. Ever's just like, and it's like an organic material. Everyone worked together so flawlessly. The Yorks, you know, the Steins, and of course, the MVP, Nico Minoru, who kind of, unbeknownst to Carolina, killed our boy Jonah.
But it wasn't unbeknownst. She saw it happen. She just couldn't stop
it. She wasn't expecting it.
But I'm sorry. If you knock me down and I have the recurring thing of you killed my sister in my head, I don't know what you were expecting to happen, Jonah, today. Like, if you thought you were getting out alive, it wasn't happening.
I think it was bound to happen, but I think it was a rash decision, because something I've always considered once we found out what Carolina was is, if she doesn't have this home base and whatever energy she's receiving from it, is she going to die early on?
Oh, that's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, I think she could also die naturally. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to, like, take on another's life, so she chooses not to, because that's like, I'm skipping the episode 8 a little bit, but technically he could have died and it would have been fine, but he possessed somebody and took their own energy.
This is my favorite. This is what we do at work, and we talk to the writers and we're like, so, you know, is X, Y, and Z means this, and they're like, no. We're just like trying to claw our way through what's keep happening dreaming. And they're like, no, you're not smarter than us and you don't have all the answers.
And that's what's the fun part about the show. That's why it's so fun to talk about, because there are so many theories. There are so many layers of grayness that we get to debate with one another. And even if, like, we think each, you know, I feel like even though I might think Shay's wrong, for example, but she still has a... I know it's Shay.
Why am I always a sacrificial lamb for y'all people? It's fine.
No, but it's cool, because even though I think you're wrong, I still see that you're making valid points, because everyone has a motivation. Everyone is doing things and making sacrifices for their loved ones, basically.
And that's sort of what happens this year, I feel like, is it's not black and white. Like, the first season, it was very evident that Pride was doing bad things and the Runaways are good kids trying to do the right thing. And this season, everybody is doing something really lame, except for Janet.
Or so far we know, you know.
I'm sticking on 7 and 8. I'm not going to say anything about anything.
I feel like Catherine and Tina have always been painted out kind of as the HBICs, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like Janet's always been in that position, really, because they're so hung up on the power aspect of it.
Yes. And I love their power struggle. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Janet and Tina have their own weird stuff because of the Robert thing in season one. So that's always sort of in the room.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're showing your power with your brains and your intellect, whereas the other ones are just actually killing people, like Graciela, R.I.P. Yep. You know?
Right. Just R.I.P.
Oh, poor Graciela.
I was still upset about that. I'm just like, you couldn't just make her sleep? Mm-mm. Choke her out? Mm-mm. I mean, well, not choke her out, but just like in a non-dead way.
She had to go.
Apparently, everybody has to go. Yeah. Apparently, the show Darius, just... Graciela, just...
It just shows that, like, no matter what, there's always going to be a sacrifice. Even if we think Pride's going to be over, there's still going to be a sacrifice. Carolina, it's like, for the greater good. Nico did that for the greater good of her family, which are the other kids, even though that really hurt Carolina and she felt betrayed. And we learn about Jonah's past and how he is kind of becoming, like, he uses host bodies, basically, goes body in body, and that's how he met Leslie's dad. And oh my gosh, this made me humanize, or maybe alienize, a little bit more with Jonah.
I like alienize. That's alienize. Yeah. I'm going to go with alienize.
Oh my gosh. Basically, Carolina discovers in episode 8 that Jonah was making all those sacrifices so his daughter would remember who he is. And that made me feel really, like, he loved Carolina so much, he wanted to continue. I know he killed a bunch of kids.
Wait, he was doing it so that he would stay alive long enough? See, this is also what happens on the show. Like, we're not allowed to talk about it while we're doing it, so I've suppressed any memory of the things that happen on the show. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to be able to stay alive long enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, he was going to leave her there to die.
Not necessarily. He wanted her to stay alive, though.
True. What I will say about both episodes, I love, because we talk about sacrifice, and life is literally about sacrifices. Sacrifice our parents make for us, sacrifices we make for whatever career we're choosing or whatever relationship we're in. Like, I think the big theme between both these episodes is the word sacrifice and how we all, as humans, make them. We call it a promise, maybe, but it's a sacrifice. Sacrificing one thing for another person we love is kind of, you know, human DNA.
And making hard decisions, like not doing necessarily what everyone else thinks is the right thing, but mm-hmm. doing the thing that you think is the right thing. I don't know. Jonah, I didn't see Nico doing that. I was like, that's never going to happen. And then there's little Lyrica on the thing flying through the sky. I was like, that was incredible.
I'm not as upset with Carolina about how she feels because it's how she feels. But at the same time, you told her, your dad killed my sister. So now which one is worse?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It literally has to come down to those two things. Like, which one are you going to forgive? Because you made me forgive you for telling me the truth that your dad killed my sister, and now I killed your dad. So now, mm-hmm. which one is worse?
Tricky stuff, being a runaway.
Well, the reason I feel like the lies and the deceit and the murder keep going on is because we're running on this concept of an eye for an eye, and that's got to catch up with them eventually.
Right.
You can't keep killing people because they find something out, and you can't keep keeping secrets from each other. Yeah, and that's why the Pride and the Runaways are never fully on the same page and never able to completely accomplish what they want to without some sort of mess because they can't get on the same page. There's always lies between them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really well said. And so now that Jonah is dead at this point, we have this question of where do we go from here? You know, Pride's like, is Pride done? What about the Runaways? You know, Gert's over here trying to get college applications, and you really have to start thinking about your future. Are we going to continue running away? So what did you guys think about Gert, especially in this episode with her and Chase? She's thinking about her life and what she wants to do now that Pride is seemingly over, done?
I think that's a good idea because you're still 16, 17. You have to finish, you know, high school. You want to go to college. You want to kind of put the bad things that happen in the recess of your mind and look forward. Chase getting mad about it. I'm like, didn't you just say the same thing to Alex? Like, what were your plans going to be? You just happened to find out about mine, but what were your plans? Like, I think there should be a flip side to that coin he's throwing at her, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
But without sort of proving all of their parents guilty, they have to live with, like, the burden of keeping that a secret. And I feel like even if it's not multiple murders over the course of many years, there's always a point when you find out that your parents don't have it all together.
Right.
And that they're not 100% in control, and that's really scary. And I don't know how they could ever go back to living in the same homes and functioning the way they did.
That's what I kept thinking about this season. I was like, if, you know, they do come home, like, how does everybody just, like, have breakfast and carpool? And mm-hmm. I don't understand. It's we're gonna burn. I've seen a lot.
And just basic high school drama. Like, I would not want to go back and deal with Eiffel or any of the
drama. Do you love Eiffel?
I want more of her.
I know. She's like, whenever Eiffel's there, I'm like, just don't laugh. And like, you can see sometimes in scenes, Annie and I, if Annie and I make eye contact, it's over. Brittany also. We just like do like a lot of this.
She's like a spirit animal. The kind of like great. You don't want, like you wish you didn't have an Eiffel at your school because you're watching on TV. You're like, yes, I need more.
Everyone's had an Eiffel though. Everyone knows an Eiffel. Mm-hmm.
I am Eiffel.
Okay. Are you?
No, I keep saying I really want her to somehow like run into the Runaways and get caught up in their schemes.
Oh my god, she and like would see so how that would work well in the mansion.
She would hold the match.
She would
so not.
Yeah, she would be. She like this is the first. I'm like, we're sacrificing anybody. We can sacrifice Eiffel. No offense, but this is Survivor, and you're off the island, babe. Oh, like,
why wasn't that ever an idea? No one ever decided or thought of the great idea of let's sacrifice Eiffel.
Well, she's probably too prominent. In the community. They're trying to get people who are kind of on the sidelines.
I mean, speaking of sidelines.
Frank. Okay, we forgot.
Frank. Oh, you're Frank. Mad at Frank. I said that.
I'm now upset. I was okay with him yesterday. I was okay.
Same.
Been so angry with him. We got Destiny's brother. He has some tea ready to, like, spill. He wants Pride to be taken down because he knows that they're the ones who killed Destiny. But then Frank basically kills him in episode 7. And now he's trying to turn this all over because he still wants the church. He's mm-hmm. trying to get the Church of the Gaborim. And he's now trying to frame Leslie. So I'm like, what the heck, man? Like, we're not done. We're not out of the woods yet.
We're not. And it's really scary, especially because Francis and Aura. Can we talk about the fact that Leslie's dad slept with both of them in the bed? And it's like, she's just, you know, 6 or 7 or 8, just who are you?
Those are a little creepy, right?
Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. This is, like, that is some cult life and ishness, if anything. It's very in the family of what it, like, what it represents. And at the same time, just, like, your child is just walking around. You're in bed with two women, not her mother, apparently, because we still have not met Leslie's mom. We don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. We just know she was banished.
Oh, yeah.
From the church for whatever reason. And we don't know if banished actually means banished or killed. So, you know, that's also something that comes into play for me.
No, I definitely thought she was killed.
I'm pretty sure she did.
Something shady happened, for sure. You know?
See, this is another one of those moments where I'm like...
taking notes.
All interesting theories, guys. You're all wrong.
Do you guys ever kind of have, like, a... Like, do the writers ever kind of take your, like... the cast's opinions or, like, theories into consideration, you think? Or is that kind of, like...
I mean, I think that they listen to our theories, or if we have a question, they'll always answer it, because they know so much more about the comics and this world than... I mean, Ryan knows a lot, but the rest of us are trying to kind of keep up. Mm-hmm. No, they'll answer any question, and there's always an answer. If you're like, I don't think this really makes sense, they're like, actually, this makes sense because of this, that, that, and this is going to happen in episode 11 and then in 13, and then you're like, great. I'll see you on set. I'll do anything you want me to do.
And Janet, you know, she created the capsule thing that was shut down.
That he throws at
with
the
few alterations, obviously, that Victor makes.
I know, wasn't that annoying? I was like, no, Victor, Janet did it. Just give her the credit.
I just had to make, you know, I had to tweak something, but because I'm Victor. But
yeah, he had to make sure that I knew that.
Mm-hmm. But she made it. For you being Ever and looking at Janet's situation, would you want to take Victor back?
Probably
what advice
not.
Would you tell Janet, obviously?
I mean, I think that me and Janet are, besides looking alike, are so different.
Besides looking alike.
I mean, I would tell her to not take him back, but I think that Janet's MO, it's been established from episode one, is that she wants her family to be together. And so I think the idea of getting Victor back and being a family again is really her focal point.
Because even when he was in his own, like, 1960s world,
yeah.
Like, there are moments where you're just like, oh, I can see why you fell in love with this man.
Right. And that's what she gets to see, too. And that's why I think the show is so smart, because you get to see the beginning. And they did that in the first season also, when you get to see how Janet and Victor met. I thought the seed was planted then, and then they just sort of elaborated this year. But no, Ever would probably not take her husband back if he tried to shoot our children. Probably not.
Oh my gosh. That just reminds me when he shot him in the first place. That was so amazing.
I know. Remember that?
First of all, that was epic. I don't know why the pirate was not on your side, but you were amazing. You were a queen for protecting your son.
Trying to get me in the box. Remember that? Everyone's trying to kill Janet.
I was like, I thought that was testament for Robert, for his love that he still had for you, to sacrifice himself instead. I was like, maybe... So are their marriages safe now? Are they going to come back together?
Yeah.
Like, I really want to know that. Like, is Robert and Janet maybe still a thing? How are we feeling?
Yeah. Did you kind of take in that consideration? Obviously you did, but we didn't see a whole lot of, like, Janet and Robert interaction yet.
Just, like, those small, like, small moments.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Of, like,
no,
understanding,
yeah,
of each other.
We peaked up, or sometimes things happen in the scene, and then when you see the show, they aren't there. But no, I feel like it's put to bed. I feel like when she broke up with him, it was done.
Because they both weren't getting affection from their spouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. And I feel like Tina seems really into Robert this season.
Mm-hmm.
So
she's like, I'm here for my man, though.
She's here for my man.
Like, stay back, Janet.
I know, totally.
She was trying. Season one with the panties. Remember that?
The
I was like,
panty episode.
I was like, get it,
yes.
Tina.
No, seriously, that was just like a... Like, Amina missed it. She's like, how did I miss that? I was like, girl, I don't know what you were watching that scene, but that scene was just like, we're going to role play now. Here, I was in the bathroom. Now we're going to do honey tonight, you know?
That was a heartbreaker.
It really was. I felt terrible for her.
Sad Tina is really sad.
I feel like we haven't really seen where Robert's heart is at. We just know he's very focused on...
The kids. Don't you think that his heart is really
well, the
with
kids, but more so, like, taking over Jonah because he's so mad at all the trouble he's caused for them. I think he's fed up, and he's fed up of being pushed around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's at his boiling point, and I'm fearful for what's, like... I hope it doesn't turn out negatively in his favor. Like, I don't want him to, like... I don't want him to kill, like, Tina or anything, you know?
Did you love when Nico flies through the air and... and kills Jonah, and then you get that little Tina smile.
Yes.
She's proud of her.
That's my baby.
That's her baby, and that's her staff of one.
Yeah, and I just remembered when Nico was knocked out before she killed Jonah, the staff wasn't even working for Tina.
Anymore. Like, it now has officially moved over.
It's Nico's now.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Actually, when that was said, I was kind of like, okay, I really need to feel like I need to know more about the staff of one now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really need a knowledgeable, more information.
There's some kind of darkness within that staff that obviously I feel like affected Tina, but now it's seemingly affecting Nico because it, like, woke her up, too. Remember when she was knocked out?
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. I think you're on to something there.
And then, did you guys have stunt doubles when Jonah, like, threw we all, like, he did, like,
wasn't that amazing?
Did you guys?
That was crazy.
Well, I told you, we shot that. It was probably, like, 3 o'clock in the morning or something. So we all would go to our trailers and take naps while they were setting up or whatever. And then someone texted, like, you have to come out here. This is amazing. And so we come out, and there's 10 adults dressed like us, and they literally just yanked them back on the pads. It looked so good.
Oh my gosh, we'd already shot
the part where we kind of land and it's the reaction on our faces, and we were like, oh my god, we did not do enough. Like, because we kind of just get up and brush ourselves off, but had we known that we were literally gonna, like, catapult across the parking lot, we probably would have been more winded.
Okay, just do that 5 more times.
Yeah, can we just go back to yesterday at 3 o'clock in the morning and reshoot? No.
Well, we got to talk about this mini mission that happened in episode 8. But before that, our girl Megan has to, you know, let the After Buzzers know about a little something something.
I know. We would not be here and have this awesome opportunity to have you here if it weren't for you guys who love tuning in. And we want to thank you all so much for making us the ESPN of E-Talk of AfterBuzz TV. I'm so sorry. E-Talk is a show I host at my school, so we're going to backtrack.
Cross-promote.
But it's great.
The ESPN of TV Talk, yeah. And we don't just do Marvel Runaways. We do all of your favorite TV shows. You can check us out on YouTube. Also, give us a rating on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, and you may be entered to win a little something-something later. Shay will tell you about it. Also, give us a comment. Hit us up in the live chat right now and let us know what your questions are forever, what you guys want to know from us. And just thank you so much for being here for us, because AfterBuzz has meant so much to all of us.
Oh, totally. Like, this is amazing. Like, it's so crazy to think about. Like, I read the comics when I was little, and now being able to be with the cast, you know.
And how do you feel having read them since you were little? Are you happy with the casting? Are you happy with the way it's all sort of coming to life?
Literally, I never thought that I would be able to see this, like, in live action form. Like, it's baffling. And see other people that I watched growing up, like James, being able to be Victor Stein, and just seeing this collaborative effort of so many people trying to just make this such a more than what it is, you know, more. There's so much themes and symbolism, so much diversity in this cast that was written, like, well over almost 20 years ago.
Really?
Yes, like 2003, 2004 when it was first written by Brian K. Vaughan. Yep. So it's just, it means a lot to me, and I can tell why it's so popular, because it means so much to other people. Shay's just trying not to cry next to me, you know, because she's just like, that means so much to me, too.
It's not that because for me, like, when I used to see Angel and her things, she's always this bubbly, happy, like, she can give you that, like, I'm sassy, but, like, she's, like, stone cold, and I always say it's about the journey. And what, like, an actor's journey to how they got it. And she's, I could not picture anybody else playing Catherine Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
I could not picture anybody else in this cast being anybody else. If there was a change, I would just be like, are you crazy?
I know, it's crazy. I have to give a shout out to Patrick Rush, who's our casting director, who literally, like, usually you do a pilot and, like, one or two people will get replaced because it doesn't work or they don't make sense. Whatever. Sometimes when you see it, people get replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 16 series regulars, and we shot the pilot, and everybody still had a job on episode one. It was incredible.
And it probably means so much for you, because you made, like, you have these new friends. You've made a new family through the show.
And
you guys
never
are so
close. You never know what to expect. Like, sometimes you do a show and it's just a working environment, and then you go home, and this is an incredible working environment, but I really do feel like they're all my friends and family. And I know that sounds hokey, but, like, I have got so many text threads on my phone of, like, the women of the pride, the whole pride, the runaways, the pride.
I love that.
And, like, I agree with this comment in the chat. Seb Russ says, with the show, it's weird actually sympathizing with some of the pride, because the comics, they're not so sympathetic. And, like, me, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm almost team pride now. Because, like, they're all doing this for their own reasons.
Yeah.
So it's just cool that Brian K. Vaughan's vision back in the day is being so opened up and people can just sympathize with the villain for a change.
I think he laid such a great groundwork, though, too, and everything was so thought out that then you can bring it to life, and it's so specific.
And there are no villains.
Well, I don't know about this AWOL character. What about him?
AWOL got issues. First of all, what kind of name is AWOL?
What about Flores? I don't trust him.
Well, I mean,
you don't trust Flores? No. See, I like Flores. He's like Flores to me. Yeah, like I feel like he's just trying to do the right thing, but he made a wrong turn at some point. No. He just wants money. He wants to retire.
I mean, on one hand, okay. On the other hand, as we're like ending episode 8. They got Molly. I'm like, she's a 14-year-old girl. Yes. Really, though, dudes?
Yeah.
All y'all, it's like 4 or 5 of y'all for a 14-year-old girl. I got problems today.
I feel like she can lift a truck over her head.
Yeah. I mean, I just cannot wait for that scene. Biology. I'm like, how she's going to do it? How are you going to, like, knock out all these men, make sure a gun is not brought up and shot at you? Because I don't know if you're bulletproof yet. We haven't figured out that yet about life.
I feel like that was a really calculated decision based especially on the look on her face when she decided not to chase them down the stairs. But I think it backfired when they all walked in. I thought she would make like a quick escape, tear the door off, no big deal, throw it to the side, be done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think also Molly at that moment she knows that she's safe because her parents still want her. So I think she kind of made that sacrifice. Word of the day.
What?
Sacrifice. Drink if you're legal. Every time we say sacrifice. She kind of made that sacrifice because she knew nothing bad was going to happen to her. But she just wanted to make sure everyone got away for the benefit. She did the benefit of the runaways, kind of.
And that is really true because even though Flores and AWOL has her, Dale and Stacey will come running real quick.
They got the tranquil.
They got mind-wiping drugs.
Mind-wipe's scary. Mm-hmm. They can mind-wipe anyone at any time.
So it'll be actually nice to see the following episode just to see what's going to happen in that scene. Because either she's going to knock her way out or somehow Dale and Stacey's going to come. I just want to see who's going to save the day. Is she going to save herself or somebody else is going to come to her rescue?
I can't answer you, but I think it'll all be good.
I do have to give a shout out to just the way it was filmed. The mission when Alex was explaining, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get into the hotel. Mm-hmm. I loved how he was explaining it, but they were also enacting the plan at the same time.
It felt Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
Totally runaway style Mission Impossible.
But we didn't have to have a scene of him explaining it and then have them all infiltrating. But I just love it. That was probably one of my favorite scenes in episode 8.
I love them working together. Like, I love when everybody is working together, it gets really interesting. Or when everybody's in a fight. Like, those to me are always the best scenes.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah, which happens a lot.
I love all the quarters, give me the quarters for the meter. And he's like, we've been preparing all our lives for this. We're Brentwood kids. This is how we live. We're great. Chase and Gert just had an argument. That's the best way, seriously, to get somebody away from you. When you're having an argument, you're making the whole situation uncomfortable, and the help is just I'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Do we know where she's applying?
Smith.
I know a few people who go to Smith, and I think she's the perfect fit for that school. I think that was
her.
So well chosen.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, but Gert needs to get something for old Lace. Maybe a service dinosaur tag, a collar or something.
She would seriously have to take an off-site campus apartment.
Maybe take some online classes, We can't forget about our old Lace. We forgot about her a little bit because she was only in episode 8 for a little bit. But I just love old Lace.
Just
so
playing
much.
Fetch ish in a way.
Old Lace was mad. She knew that Gert was trying to go to college. She's
she would do well at Smith. I feel old Lace would love college.
She'd be a great great student. Maybe
A great mascot.
mascot.
I think she would be an awesome mascot. She would put fear in everybody
3 right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to take this time to ask ever more questions, more throbbing questions. Time to put her in the hot seat. I mean, she's been there. So y'all got more questions forever. If you're tuning in live in the chat, let us know. We will gladly ask her. This is the time to do it, y'all.
Sarah said, hi, I'm Gert. This is my dinosaur. Best freshman experience. That's actually really awesome. I would be like, you have a dinosaur? I would actually have to see that. I would be so intrigued if somebody actually came up to said that to me. I would want to know more now.
Of their dinosaur? I know, yes. But dinosaurs are scary, too. Old Lace is giant. Yeah. The real Old Lace.
What were some of the challenges that were different this particular season rather than last season for Janet?
I mean, honestly, I had a lot of sort of mathematical dialogue that is so not like talking about wave theory and whatever. Like, it's so not intuitive to who I am or what's particularly interesting to me, but it was really fun to kind of get in. I just looked at it as her trying to kind of control the situation, and that was my way in. And then if you just learn all the lines and stick to it, it's fine. And then doing all this stuff in the garage, you know, none of that is there. Mm-hmm. None of the planets, yeah. None of that. Mm. And so you're just sort of relying on the VFX guy who comes in and he's like, so you're going to spin a planet and then this is going to come out and it's going to be about there. It's going to look really cool.
Okay.
And like, okay. this.
You did amazing, by the way. It was amazing.
Well, once I saw it all, I was like, oh, thank God. I totally buy that. And then my husband was even like, was all that stuff in the room? And I proudly said no.
No, it was really beautiful.
Yeah, wasn't it beautiful? Yeah. Isn't the abstract beautiful?
It was moving.
And the ship, too. I thought the ship was beautiful.
I loved your going through Jonah's passwords and the equations. Right. And you're just like, okay, so it's not that theory. It's a gravitational theory. I was like, I didn't even know you could actually have that many symbols for a theory.
I know.
It's not intuitive for like my brain to understand.
Why not mine either?
So it's just like, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because we were saying this throughout the entire season. Sometimes we forget just how smart Janet truly is.
Yes.
Like, you forgot that she went to school, she met him in grad school.
Yep. She's brilliant. Like that she also, they gave her kind of, and I tried to help this, like a slow burn. She doesn't have Victor in the tube and come out of the box and show everything. She's trying to kind of manipulate the situation with Jonah to get what she wants. And I love that.
And it was very well played.
And she's very in control. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I love that. With seeing how she's kind of the brains of the operation now, I'd really like to see her working with the Runaways.
Rather than Jeffrey,
what? How do you think you'd help them? What advice would you give them as a mom?
Well, I would clean the place up. Make some food. I don't know what advice I'd give them. I mean, I think that all the parents really just want their kids to come home. And so I think that would be her mission. Mm-hmm. But, oh, I can't. Never mind. I'm thinking about future episodes and I just caught myself.
Well, even though Chase is mad at you right now-ish,
if you could give him advice
about Gert right now, what would you say? And as a mom yourself?
I mean, I think that Chase needs to just listen to Gert and apologize to her and support her decision to go to Smith. Mm. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
He was so mad at her.
And he's still mad about the whole hospital thing. I'm like, your mom's like the sweetest person ever. Just say hi, bye. Like, I'm sorry, it was not that deep. Like, it really wasn't. You saved him from being a corpse. So I feel like there should be at least a little appreciation for you.
I guess so. But it's complicated being a teenager. I don't know. Everything's different every day of the week.
Right? Well,
especially on this show.
This is kind of a broad question. No spoilers. But where do you want the future Janet to go? Like, maybe if we get a season 3, which we totally will, what do you want to kind of experiment with Janet in moving forward?
I would love to see her and Victor really working together. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel like you've seen in the first season where they're not working together at all. And then in the second season, her sort of coming into her own. So I'd like to see that power.
Yeah, it's just we kind of teased that like in this season a little bit.
Yeah,
so far.
But I think it could turn up. I could turn it up a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Y'all back together, reunited. And it feels so good.
It feels so good. And I'd love to see also, like, just selfishly, because I would love to see like a Pride Ladies' Night out. Do you know what I mean?
That would be so fun.
Wouldn't that be so fun?
I love the small moments of comedic relief in the show.
I know. They come just when you need them, though, too, don't they? Dale and Stacey always make me laugh.
Seb Russ in the chat says, do you get all season overview beforehand, or do you get each episode scripts as you film it and learn as you go?
We get each episode as we film it and we learn as we go.
Okay, well, that works out good for you. That works out. Can't talk right
you
now, y'all.
Do it.
That works out amazingly for the actors, because you're going on the journey just as the characters are as
well. Yeah, then there's no fear that you're going to tip your hat about what's going to happen. And also with Marvel, they're so secretive, it's helpful to keep your mouth shut if you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we get each script and then we all sit down together as a cast with whoever the visiting director is and our producers and our writers and a few other people, and we read it just like just read the script aloud. Oh my gosh,
that must be a blast.
It's fun, especially this season, because the Runaways of Pride did so much stuff apart that it was a really great way to hear what the... I mean, we read the scripts, but to see what the kids are doing without us.
Definitely. Wow. This segues into our next segment, our comic book corner, where we grab something from the comics and dissect it. Because, obviously, in the comics... You know, we can't keep everything the same. That won't be that fun. But in episode 7, I'm a big comic nerd, as you know. I got super excited because Jonah said a name from the comics, Zavin. So that totally me. I geeked out for a second. It was, I think Zavin was said like maybe twice.
Yeah, and I think Janet might have said, who's Zavin?
Yes. So 3 times. Okay. But Zavin was a character from the comics. Zavin was actually a Skrull who came down after Pride was defeated and revealed to the Runaways that he's in an arranged marriage with Carolina. So Carolina's like, oh, we just saved the world. We killed the Pride or defeated the Pride, whatever. And Zavin came to Carolina as a male. But since Carolina is gay, she told Zavin, you know, I can't marry you. I'm not attracted to you. And then Zavin shapeshifted because Zavin's a Skrull into a female.
Yes,
Lord. So.
Can that be me, though? I just love it.
That looks like you, Shay.
Come through.
Look at that.
Zavin's great looking.
I know. Zavin. And it's so exciting. I really hope we do get more Zavin. I hope Zavin's implemented into the Runaways because it's such an important character. But it's an important arc, too, because Carolina actually did accept the invitation to be wed off to save both of their species worlds, basically. Mm. And so they did return eventually, the two. But this was a very interesting arc that I hope is, you know, translated to live action form. What do you guys think? Are we going to see Zavin?
I would love to see Zavin after seeing this. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, why? I'm like, she looks amazing. And whoever plays her is going to rock that role.
Mm-hmm. There's so much we can play with because Zavin is a shapeshifter. And I think it's very telling of the times how people, you know, you think being a shapeshifter, being Mystique would be really cool. But it's like, no, people are going to treat you differently for the way you look. And it's so superficial as I take a selfie. No. But like also genders played into it as well, you know. And Zavin in the comics suffered with identity issues because the way people treated Zavin differently through Zavin's appearance. So I'm really excited for that. Megan, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
I think we definitely need some sort of character to learn more about where Carolina comes from because I feel like that's really up in the air. Maybe it has something to do with like the planets that you saw and were holding. I don't know. But it also kind of like breaks my heart because it just made me think back to she almost met her brother when they went down into the hole.
Oh, that's right.
And there were, like, real, like, not humans, but beings in there. Mm-hmm. And you could hear their cries coming out when they were attacking the ship.
Yeah. And then it's also, this will bring out a love triangle between Nico, Carolina,
and
Zavin. So it's, like, the drama of it all. But, yeah, let us know what you guys think about Zavin. Is Zavin coming? Your theories? Because, you know, this is going to be a very juicy if Zavin is coming to the Runaways. Mm-hmm. But before we go on...
Thank you for not asking me if Zavin comes.
Just spill it, Amber. Gosh
darn
it.
Tell us what happened.
Tell us everything you know. Not really, though, because I don't want to be surprised. So I can have my rant if I need to.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for Shay to talk because she's going to give us some tea on the giveaway that we're doing this season.
So, yeah, guys, we're going to give away this. This is a grand prize mint condition comic book, The Good Die Young. Also, though, if you guys are fans of Pop Funkos, we had Allegra here yesterday. So we had her sign her Molly Pop Funko. We will also be giving that away. So how do you win these awesome, awesome prizes? I mean, it's super easy. So if you're watching us right now on YouTube, leave us a comment with 5 stars on it. There it is. I can talk. And just, you know, tell us how much you love the show, what you love about, you know, the show as well. We love hearing your thoughts and your theories because sometimes they're better than mine. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, you have to leave a review with your username. That's how we can know how to contact you at the end of the season to give out the prizes. Only U.S. shipping only, though. But we'll be shipping them with our own minis.
Aww.
Yes. So. And Ever did sign it.
She signed it.
In turquoise.
Her favorite color.
My favorite color.
So it's so easy and so, it's just do it. Like, that's just an amazing prize. Just do it.
It takes 2 seconds. Look what you get. I had to look at it. I might give you guys 5 stars.
We don't know. That was seriously like the awesomest thing ever. Like, guess who won it, guys? Ever Candy. She won.
Yes, yes. Well, this is perfect time to get to our predictions for the week. Here we go.
And now... You're after dun, dun, dun.
Oh no.
This music's Jonah? Very fitting for the show.
Right? I know, I feel like the ship is landing.
All right. What's going to happen, y'all, moving forward? Because this episode ended, obviously, with Molly being captured. And is Pride really done for good? What do you think?
Because Frank Trippin, no, Pride's not done. I think, unfortunately, word of the day, sacrifice Frank. It's time to sacrifice him. He has outlived his usefulness. I'm so sorry. I'm done with you. That's all I have to say about that. Molly's going to either get out or saved, either by the runaways or her parents. I don't know who I'm rooting for more, actually, for that entire scene. I'm more worried right now about Carolina and what she's going to do. Because, you know, Jonah left her a message, and it's like the plan of what he wanted to happen. So either she's going to live up to it and another betrayal of her friends, or she's going to tell them what he had to say. Because obviously it's not over. Because his dying words were, now we're going to have to take it all. And I don't know if that means Earth or not. So that is terrifying for my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Pride certainly made someone angry up there. Not quite sure who's up there. But as for Jonah, I don't think he's gone for good. Because I think the way he died was really weird. And you saw kind of the light leave his body. But as a whole, it didn't like scatter like it did when the spaceship sort of blew up, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe he's somewhere up there and he's plotting something. I don't know.
Oh my God. Ever, what do you think?
Do you want me to tell you what I think is going to happen this season?
Or what do you want to happen?
I really can't say anything because I know what happens. But I think that I think nobody will be disappointed. Like, I think that they do a really good job of telling this story in a way that makes people feel all the feels.
Well, we're already like, we're just like geeking out week after week whenever we get to talk about this show, and it's so fun. So guys, keep the discussion going with us, you know, tweet us, DM us, comment below. We
give
five star ratings. Yes, yes, absolutely. Dang it, we had a wrap up, unfortunately. Well, where can we find our amazing panel on social media?
Hey guys, you can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram, and at 8 tonight with Megan on Good Trouble. And starting Sundays, I am doing Black Mondays at 9 p.m.
Nice. Yeah. Megan.
And y'all can find me at Megan Lynn TV. Let me know your theories. Let us know who you want us to have on the show next. Love to hear it.
And Ever, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Official Ever Carradine and on Twitter at Ever Carradine. And that's all I can do.
That's like plenty for me. Those are the important ones.
Those are the good ones, right? More Instagram than Twitter, but I'm trying.
Well, we just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. You were such a joy.
Thank you for having me. You guys are fun.
You and everyone in the cast, the crew, directors, are killing it with this show. We love it, absolutely. So we're waiting for that season 3 announcement.
Season 3, no, 4, 5,
I mean, 7, 8. I mean, come on, let's take the Runaways to college.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm your host, Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And check me out on Sundays for our anime after show and also the RuPaul's Drag Race after show on Sundays. I said that, yes.
Yes.
Until then, we love you guys. Peace out, Runaways.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.